Welcome to the Sharing is Caring podcast. My name is Rahel Pappis and I'm your host. This podcast is all about our subconscious mind, inner peace, and self-therapy to make your life easier. Enjoy the journey to your self-fulfillment. Learn, listen, and become free because sharing is caring. So this episode, I'm already making a promise that it will be super interesting because I have a special lady with me today who is called Wies Brappy, and she is an expert when it comes to money. Welcome to the show, Wies.
Oh, thank you so much. And talk about freaking pressure. Thanks, but no thanks for that. Yeah. I am not an expert on money. I'm going to have to sort of manage expectations there straight away. I am an expert on value and, you know, deciding what your value is and communicating your value. But it's a different thing from money. They can overlap, I guess, but inherently a different thing. Yeah,
exactly. So you are specialized in for women in negotiation. And so tell us something about how you became or went into this field. What is your background and what is your story behind it?
Oh man, long story. And it's really funny because looking back, I can sort of, you know, it all makes sense, right? It all kind of adds up to where I am now. So what happened was that I became a lawyer. I went to law school, then became a lawyer in my native Netherlands. And I did that because I read the book Getting to Yes, which is all about negotiation. It's basically, despite its super corny title, it's a standard work on negotiation in the world, basically business, politics, etc. And so I read that when I was 18 and I thought, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to make everybody talk to each other and like world peace will ensue. Genuinely, these were my thoughts. Genuinely, I was that naive. What ended up happening was that I started working for the most prestigious law firm in my country, meaning that I ended up basically writing lots of great contracts and, you know, having like banks talk to each other and stuff. Not quite the work that I was envisioning for myself, the sort of world-changing work work that I set out to do. And so I became really good at negotiating, but not the type that I necessarily wanted to do. And so after a couple of years, we actually did kind of a U-turn, big change. We, my husband and I and our daughter, we moved to Hong Kong for my husband's job. And I started a new career there. So I was kind of done with the whole legal thing. And I started in a very large organization where I set up HR for Asia. So bit of a career change. I started doing in a whole new field, basically, working in a whole new field. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And I did continue to negotiate, of course, you know, big contracts, et cetera, for, you know, senior management, et cetera, et cetera. But that's what I was doing. But interestingly, I was also in charge of training. So I just thought, what can I train people on? Because we did a lot of things internally. And so the one subject I knew about that I felt qualified to teach anybody anything about was negotiation. And so I started running these negotiation classes, workshops. Basically, wherever I traveled in the world for meetings, I would just kind of tag on this workshop, right, for our employees, wherever we were. And I always tell the story that two things would happen at every single, like, workshop I ran. First of all, people freaking loved it. They would high-five me. They would, like, oh, my God, this is so important. Oh, my God, I'm going to change my whole life. I'm going to talk to my boss. I'm going to talk to my landlord. I'm going to talk to my partner. I'm going to change everything. I'm going to negotiate everything, right? Which was great, which was great, great. And the whole loving part wasn't necessarily about me. It was simply that everybody seemed to realize how important this subject is in their lives, like what a massive influence it potentially had. But then the embarrassing thing would be that I'd call them up a couple weeks later and I'd be like, so, you know, because these were my coworkers, right? These were my friends. And so I'd call them up. I'd be like, so how did that conversation with your boss go? Or, you know, your landlord or whatever. And it would be awkwardly silent. I'd be like, well, you know. And so what I realized was that there's a massive difference between knowing what to do, which is what I would teach them, right? During our hours together, I would teach them everything I knew. And so they'd have the theory, but there's a massive difference between doing, knowing and actually doing, right? And so there's all these mindset hurdles that are holding us back from actually you know, taking action on this new found wisdom that we have. So that was the first thing. That was a big insight for me. The second thing was also interesting and kind of leads to why I teach women negotiation skills, is because wherever I was in the world, literally wherever, whether it was Vietnam, whether it was Shanghai, whether it was Stockholm or London or Boston, wherever, the same thing would happen every single time. I would have afterwards a group of women standing around me, a little circle of women standing around me going, this is so important and I really suck at it. I am so bad at negotiating for myself. I can do it for others, no problem, but I can't do it for myself. Right. And so I found it incredibly interesting that, and sad actually, that this happened everywhere, right? It doesn't matter how, you know, modern, Western, you know, feminist we are. This is something that's holding all of us back, because the women I was working with, they weren't like sad wallflowers that were scared of the world, not at all. These were really powerful, impressive, confident ladies, and they all had the same issue. But speaking up for themselves was difficult, really difficult for them. And so what ended up happening was that after a couple of years in Asia, we moved to Switzerland, where we're based now. And I realized that this work that I started doing with these people in my company, actually, you know, I needed to do more of it, because this was my true calling, is what I felt. And so I started teaching friends and, you know, people around me, and noticed that when focusing instead of on the practicalities and the theory, but really focusing on the mindset work, was the game changer for them. And that with, I'm not going to say simple changes, because they're very profound, they're very deep, but by having these mindset shifts, they could, you know, reach great heights in their private lives and also their careers. So that's how I ended up with Women in Negotiation, my coaching and consulting business, in which I help people, women, get great careers, unicorn jobs, as I call them, and get paid really well for it. So that's what I do.
Wow. I just love it, because this already, the stuff that you told me, or the things that, or how you work with women, is so incredible, and what they achieve or the goals are, or even the jobs they change in, is just incredible that I know that you change. And so, I mean, what make me think about now is that women are kind of, including me myself, is when I want to negotiate, or when I want to say what is my point or my energy, then I actually never get to the words or to the goal that I actually want for the moment. It's more like 2 days later, I'm like, oh, I should have said this, or I shouldn't have gone there, or I should have, you know, then it's like not preparing yourself to actually be able to negotiate.
Yeah. I mean, I hear that a lot, and it's a widespread thing. I so often hear people, not just women, men as well, who will go into this, you know, very big career negotiation for themselves, and I'll ask them, okay, so what did you do to prepare? And they'll just look at me funnily and go like, well, I'm just going to wing it. You know, I'm just going to go in and see what happens. I'm just going to see what the other side has to say, and then I'll adapt myself accordingly, or something like that. And it's like the worst thing you can do. Seriously, the magic is in the preparation. Come freaking prepared. It's the best gift you can give yourself. And I always say to my clients, like, my program is very intensive, and I ask a lot of them, and I'll say every single minute you put into preparation, apologies, will pay itself out. Pinky promise. Like, you will reap the benefits from all this work you're doing up front. You know, after the fact, you really, really will. It will make a massive difference. It's the single biggest influencer of negotiation success. Truly is.
And so how is it when people come, or I guess you have a bunch of different women who are in your program, what are like the typical or different types you have, and how do you use your methods, or what program is actually in that to prepare yourself to negotiate?
Yeah. So what I've developed based on these experiences, right, of seeing that it's mindset that we need to focus on rather than strategy or techniques, although you do need the strategy and the techniques, you need to know what works and what doesn't work, of course. But because you need all of that combined, the program that I have is super comprehensive, as I said, very intensive. It's 8 weeks. I always tell my clients up front, I own your ass for 8 weeks. Like, no kidding. We work hard. We go deep. We do the hard work, right? But then once you come out, there's true transformation. So mm-hmm. we don't do superficial stuff. We go deep. And it means that at the end, you really truly come out a little bit of a different person. So it's all worth it, coming back to, you know, preparation, etc. And so the women that are drawn to that, it's not a large group. I'm super selective in who I invite in because I know how much work it mm-hmm. is. And because I'm only interested in success, you know, and I know what it takes to succeed, mm-hmm. you know, hence why this I have this selection process at the gate, which I think is part of the success, just knowing who I'm working with. And so they're very diverse, my clients, in terms of their backgrounds, in terms of, you know, where they're based, US, all over Europe. Some of my women have just left university a couple of years ago and are at the start of their careers. I've also got older ladies who are, you know, late 50s, who are saying, well, I still have a couple of years in the workforce and I want to make the best of it, right? So age-wise, very different. And of course, sort of seniority level also really changes. Some are much more junior, and then we've got VPs and SVPs of larger organizations, everything in between, and also the fields. You know, I've had journalists, I've had marketing people, I've got bankers, I've got teachers, I've had IT consultants, everything basically. And what they all share, what they all have in common, is that they are very committed to their own goals. They're incredibly supportive of one another and open. They're coachable, as I always say, it's one of my requirements. They have to be open to doing things in a new way. And they're very resourceful. They get creative when obstacles come their way, which inherently will happen. And so I need that resourcefulness in them in order to overcome those issues. So it's kind of funny because despite all of these massively different backgrounds, it's an incredible network, both inside the program and in my grads group that I have after the program. They're still, whenever we meet, because sometimes we're lucky enough, you know, I go to Amsterdam, for example, where I'm from, and I'll meet a couple of my clients or ex-clients, my grads, mm-hmm. there, or here in Switzerland we meet, or in New York, you know, different places, they kind of come together. And then when we're together, it's like all these differences kind of, you know, melt away. Like it doesn't matter that I'm sitting next to a very senior person for a very large organization who's basically on top of her game, you know, boss woman, who's sitting next to somebody who is, you know, super junior and in a different field, but they're chatting and they're mm-hmm. learning from one another. It's not that the junior is learning from the older lady, and not the other way around. In fact, I had one client a couple months ago who said during her kind of wrap-up meeting, she told me that the person she had learned most from during her time in the program was the youngest, the most junior one there, right? Which I think is testament to the fact that everybody brings something to the program. I got goosebumps talking about this because they are incredible. I think if we're talking about the one thing that they all have, there is something about them. Mm-hmm. There is this ambition, but at the same time, this massively kind of focus on mm-hmm. support and mm-hmm. on working together. I'm not in this alone. We're doing this together. Together we rise. All of the, you know, the sisterhood mm-hmm. kind of idea mm-hmm. behind it to me is incredibly important. And I think because it is to me, and I select kind of based on that, mm-hmm. It's something, man. The group
it's magical. It sounds magical.
There is something about it, and for me, networking and networking, you know, sounds like you're having a glass of wine and you're looking over at the person opposite, use mm-hmm. their shoulder to see if somebody more important is coming along. That's not my kind of networking. The network and the sisterhood that my clients have kind of formed proactively. I've done nothing there. It's just that they kind of keep in touch. They become friends on Facebook. They become friends in real life. They start WhatsApp groups. They, you know, they help each other on a daily basis. That is something, that community, I never saw it coming. And it's like the best thing, literally. It gives me life. It is so incredible. yeah, I'm very, very fortunate.
That's amazing. So you have this 8-week program. What are like the different methods that you go into? Is it like something that is one-on-one with you, or do they have to journal, or well, I don't know, do they have to do, I don't know, meditations or
visualization?
What is like kind of like the, how does this program really go with your methods?
Yeah. Good question. The big question, it's a combination of everything that you just mentioned. There's a bit of woohoo, as we always say. There's a bit of Oprah Winfrey, tree-huggy, you know, kumbaya, we're all in this together, visualization stuff. It's also very practical. So we start with a theory. You do need to know what you need to say, how you need to say it, when you need to say it, to whom do you talk? You know, all of those kind of practical, strategic questions, absolutely answered. So that's based on all those years of experience that I have as a lawyer and what is now 4.5 meters of books on the subject of negotiation and the role of gender in negotiation and career more broadly, combined with, so it's the experience and the theory, basically. There's a ton of research on this subject, and I've read it all. I'm a massive geek. And I've put it together into what is now a communication framework that works really, really well. It's like Swiss clockwork type situation. It works when applied properly, it works every single time. So I've developed that over the course of a number of years based on both, as I said, practice and theory. And it's, it's a little bit scary how well it works. So you need that, right? Because you need to know what you have to do, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's just to gain the confidence that what you're doing works. Yeah. That what you're doing is going to get you results. But it's not enough.
Or even what kind of person you have, is it even from the nationality, you can actually know what negotiation skills you sometimes need, right?
There's massive differences in, there is more that binds us than that separates us when it comes to cultural differences in sort of negotiation skills and techniques. And at the same time, it is worth knowing these differences. So you do want to know theoretically what works for women in a negotiation. Mm-hmm. So the theory is there. And as I said, that framework based on that works really well. And so my clients get the confidence that they'll be successful simply from knowing, I just apply the steps. You know, it's a step-by-step game plan, basically. Mm-hmm. I just apply the steps. When I do that, I will get the results. You know, mm-hmm. hundreds of women have done it before me. It worked for them. I do the same thing. I get the results, right? So it's kind of that clockwork part, I think, is really important in building confidence. But it's not enough, right? This is coming back to what I experienced in the workshops, knowing what to do and then doing it are two very different things. And so the program is much more comprehensive. So we do role plays. There's a lot of practice, live practice. And by live, I mean on camera, online. Mm-hmm. We do, there's homework where they have to personalize that framework for their specific situation. So it's all these deep reflective questions like, where do you want to end up? You know, how do you visualize your future? How do you see your career and your personal life? What's that dot on the horizon? So that you make sure that the negotiation you're about to undertake actually gets you closer to that goal, right? Mm-hmm. And then things like questions like, how do I add value? You know, uniquely me, how do I add value? And what does the other side mean? Mm-hmm. And questions like, how can I best communicate my value? It's probably the most important one, right? So those kind of questions we answer in the homework. And then we have challenges every week where I gently but very firmly take you outside of your comfort zone. We practice, basically. A lot of my clients lack the experience, basically, of having these career-defining negotiations or discussions or conversations. And so I just help them get the practice so that when the real one happens, right? The big one. They know what to do. Been there, done that.
They're not scared anymore.
Exactly.
Fear.
Ready. I'm ready. Exactly. Yeah. So it's really about doing. And then, as you're pointing out, like visualizations and kind of the bigger work, we have mindset, as I said, is a part of everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of separate mindset work in terms of I always find it really difficult to explain what it is. It's confidence building. Mm-hmm. So it's theory and exercises that build mm-hmm. your confidence, and so that you see the value in the work that you do and the value of you, basically, so that you can then communicate it. But you need to feel it, right? In order, just saying, oh, I'm really fantastic at all these things, you know, is not going to do it. If it's not kind of, there's no, you know, inner foundation for that. If it's just randomly coming out superficially, right? It doesn't work. You need to really feel it that way, that once you do, everything changes, right? So the program has all those different components. And then there's a team call every week, because the community, as I said, is important, where we celebrate wins. There's a lot of alcohol on these calls. No kidding. I sit there with bubbles most of the time, or just wine, but we're celebrating a lot. So one of the perks of running your own business, you can drink on the job. I do. So we celebrate successes and just the inspiration, right, that we're getting from each other, right? If you see somebody else that is kicking ass, it's like, she can do it, I can do it.
I can do it, super important. It's like a hype, that a spiral that is going up and up and up.
Yeah, it's just seeing other people, other women just like you who are succeeding is just the biggest motivator. It's real, it's happening, right? I don't need to do this alone. I can just take, you know, this whole sense of, well, as I said, sisterhood and support, and massive inspiration. So we celebrate successes, we do role plays, as I said, where we really practice. And it's basically a Q&A coaching call. So any questions that you have about, you know, the materials that I've been through, anything related to experiences that you've had, you know, in the week before or something, we discuss them on the call. So it's really comprehensive. And together, all of those different parts kind of ensure this transformation, this real change for people, rather than, as I said, a quick fix or a quick win of what I used to do, which is why it's now so different. I would help people with these, you know, quick and dirty techniques. If you just say this and then you get that outcome and you get like a 10% raise and you'd be super excited. And I've been sitting there going, that so much more is possible. I know what you are capable of, you know, and it's not happening, which was for me very frustrating, knowing what could be, right? And so that's why we do this work. That's why we go so deep. It's not because I'm some kind of sadist who wants my clients to, you know, to suffer, basically. And there is no suffering, I'd like to point out, but we do go deep. And that is because, you know, that's the only thing I have found that results in lasting change, where you truly do get put in what I call the driver's seat of your career, where you're fully in charge and where you know genuinely how to have these conversations so that you get the results that you want every single time.
It's interesting, because every time I do therapy on people that come to my practice, I have, I mean, different kind of people, if men or women or kids or whatever. And sometimes I go into these topics as well, like, but if it's better grades or better grades or a higher salary or having the right job, then sometimes sabotage is such a big word there, like not being in the driver's seat or thinking you're not good enough, or my dad always said this and that, and like the sabotage is so there. Yeah. And I think it's so interesting of like getting in there of what is actually holding you back to be able to actually ask for what your worth is.
Yeah. Oh man. I mean, you're hitting all the points that my clients struggle with. Yeah, it's absolutely true. It's your sense of self-worth is something that is, you know, a very deep-rooted, deep-seated thing. And so therefore, that's why I do, you know, that's why we go so deep, right? That's why we touch on those really heavy and heady questions, like, what makes up the value of me? You know, what value do I put out in the world? What good do I put out in the world? And by really examining that at a deep level through different exercises and different mostly exercises, my clients like make it really part of who they are, versus as I said earlier, you know, sort of superficially saying things but not really feeling them. If you're not truly feeling them yourself, and it's kind of inauthentic, but you've just heard that you should say these things, but you know, but there's no underlying foundation for it, it's just coming out like that, people pick up on that and you still don't get the results, right? Or you'll get them the merest sort of pushback will send you into a spiral of, oh, never mind. I have a lot of clients who come to me and said, you know, we discuss, okay, so have you negotiated in the past? And we go into that in depth before I even invite them in, right? Because I want to see, can we work together? Can I help you with the issues that you're struggling with? And so what I often hear is, no, I did ask for more, but they said no, and that's it, right? That's the end of the conversation for them. And so at that point, what, you know, it's like, okay, so you got a no, which you should always expect, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you don't get a no, you haven't asked for enough, simply. So always expect the no. And when you get the no, how do you respond to that, right? So it's that, to me, it says when you have tried, but you gave up after the first no, it tells me that, you know, you kind of have the techniques, you kind of know that you should ask, but there is still a confidence issue and a self-worth issue that needs working on, because the first no was enough for you to go sit back in your seat and go, okay, never mind, don't worry, I'll take the job, you know, at whatever you're paying me, or I'll do the work that you're asking me to do, or whatever it is that you're, you know, that you were not getting from that conversation. So yeah,
it's like a pushback and a rejection, but actually then to give you the power to ask again and go for it even more.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the challenges that we do, which is one of my favorites, is go for no. Basically, I don't care how you get it, but you need to get a no. If you don't get a no, you need to go back and ask for more. So this is not about going to your boss and asking for more money straight up. It's asking for sometimes crazy stuff because you don't think it's going to happen, but you need to experience getting a no. You need to experience that, you know, when you ask for something rather silly, there's usually two experiences that people have. First of all, they realize how much they can ask for without realizing it. Right, that they'll so
they're not aware of it.
Back in, no, and they'll come back on the team call and they're like, okay, so I'm in challenge week 2. I've asked for the most ridiculous stuff, and people keep freaking saying yes. You know, it's like they don't realize how willing people are to help them and to give them what they want, which is a massive revelation for some of them. Right, if you live your life small and doing everything yourself and also never asking for help, it is a really weird realization that people are super willing to help. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that if they do then end up getting a no, right, which often comes a lot later and for a lot bigger ask than they ever thought was possible, but when they get the no, they realize that the world doesn't stop, you know, revolving. The world does, you know, it hasn't ended. It isn't like you're disappearing into nothingness or that you get slapped in the face or something terrible happens. You just get a no. And that's it. Was that so bad? Usually it really, 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 it really isn't.
Yeah.
And they're so relieved as well that they finally got their no, that they can come back to me and say, I got it, I'm done. You know, that usually helps as well. But yeah, so it's so interesting, huh? So interesting that that this idea, this, because it's very, that's the word I'm looking for, this fear of rejection, this fear of hearing a no is so deep in all of us. But when you start examining it, there's nothing there. Because people do intellectually know that it means nothing, right? That it doesn't have further reaching consequences beyond, you know, not getting the immediate thing that they asked for. But unexamined, untested, unassessed, it's keeping all of us back from, you know, great stuff, which is, yeah, a real shame. So it's good that we work on it.
What is it like your success story? What is a story that you can maybe tell our listeners of what was possible in this program?
Oh man, there are so many. I am so
probably 90% is already a success, or 99% is a success story, I guess.
It is ridiculous how successful my clients are. And I think it's testament, as I said, to the depth of the program and to who they are as people. And it's the reason why I so enjoy what I do, because I literally get, and I'm honestly not saying this to brag, this is for them. I get messages every day, literally in the morning. I get WhatsApp messages of successes they had the night before. I get messages every day of their successes. And it's just the most uplifting and inspiring and motivational thing in the world. So when you're asking me for one story, I'm like, oh my God, there's too many. I think one that stands out to me as a success is one of my clients who, and this is the reason why I'm so happy with it, is because her success was, you know, at every level. And I think we often fall into the trap as people, but especially as women, we fall into the trap of thinking that we can't have it all. It is not possible to have a job you absolutely freaking adore and get paid really, really well for it, and also have a setup, you know, for your job that works well for you. We think, you know, if you're paid really well, exactly, then you can't really say much about having to work really hard on really long hours. Or when you're doing a job that's really meaningful to you, you can't really expect to also be paid well for it, right? It's kind of this zero-sum thinking, or this black and white thinking. If I have one thing, you know. And my point is always, you need to have it all. You shouldn't just expect it all in terms of it is possible, but you should have it all. And the reason for that is because if you are happy about some aspects of your job, but really unhappy about other aspects, what I have found is you get into this negative spiral, this downward cycle, where your frustration or resentment about having to work crazy hours, or the opposite, you know, not being paid enough for the good work that you are putting in, or something like that, you bring that frustration and that resentment and that anger to work. And even if it's anger with yourself, huh, or frustration with yourself for not, you know, stepping up and having these conversations, but you're bringing that negative energy to work. And that impacts on the work that you do, on the level of the work that you do, right? Not just on your joy in general. Like, it's way more fun waking up on Monday morning and going, woohoo, versus, OMG, I have to do this again. But also your work, you know, is impacted, mm-hmm. and not in a good way, right? To the point where some of my clients say, if I'm honest, you know, I don't really deserve a raise right now or a promotion, mm-hmm. right? Because they basically, they're not doing their best work because they're low-key angry and resentful and spending their, wasting their energy on all these negative feelings. And so what excites me about the story of one of my clients is that she is a showcase of, or a sort of testament to the fact that you can absolutely have it all and how that impacts your life. So what happened, she came to me when she was pregnant with her third child, and she'd been in the same company for a number of years in the same role. And she was incredible. So she was leading a team and she was really good at it. And so she'd been trying to kind of move up and doing different things and develop herself for a number of years, but hadn't really managed to, because her boss was quite happy with her succeeding. You know, when somebody's in the right place and doing great work, don't change a winning concept, right? That was his take. And so she felt a bit stuck. And then she got pregnant, and then she was like, OMG, things really need to change when I come back, because I'm not going to continue doing this job with three kids simply because I'm not getting the motivation out of this role, you know, that I wanted to, or I'm not getting the way it is now, it's just not giving me life anymore. And so I'm not enjoying it as much. And soon I'll have three kids that, you know, I need to kind of weigh up against, you know, this job. So that needs to change. And she was also underpaid. So she wanted to change all of that. But when she came to me, it's like, I can't have all of that. I mean, I can't ask for all of that, can I? And what ended up happening was that we actually used in our strategy, we used the fact that she was pregnant, which tends to be seen as, OMG, you're now also pregnant. Like, this is a problem, right? We used it to her benefit, in the sense that it was like, okay, if you're going to replace me for a couple months during maternity leave anyway, which you're going to need to, why not make that permanent, right? So we used her maternity leave to her advantage. They replaced her. And then the question became, well, what can you now do, right? What are you going to do when you come back? And because she had the skill set now to have these conversations at the right level, she was able to dream up and then communicate the value of a whole new division that she could see for herself, and then got a 75% salary increase for that.
Ooh.
That's nice, huh?
Amazing.
Yeah. So she got everything basically that she wanted to from, right? A new job, doing something, as I said, completely new, really meaningful to her, in a setup that worked well for her, right? Because she dreamt up this whole unicorn role. So she did it in a way that really works for her. And, 75% more salary is obviously nothing to be sniffed at. So I think imagining that, imagine that new situation, right? That new life for you under those circumstances. The reason why I'm excited about her success is not just that, this sounds wonderful and we're talking literally many millions over the course of your career due to compound interest when, you have these massive salary increases. Also, smaller salary increases over time really lead to big differences. Mm-hmm. But that's another story. But it's not just, the sort of the success for her that I'm excited about. I'm also very excited about the fact that she was able to, in this new setup that she's going to be having, I just know for a fact that she is going to do fantastic work for the organization that she works for. And so what I know is that it's not just her and her family benefiting from her having these conversations at this new level, right? And getting these results. The company that she works for is going to benefit massively from her showing up with this new enthusiasm, this new inspiration, this new motivation that they would have completely missed out on if she had continued in the way that she had been before. Right? Mm-hmm. What I could have seen for her is a path, which I hear sadly so often, which is women who kind of go, well, it's not worth it to me anymore. Why should I, give up this valuable time with my family or even without family, of course, just spending my time and my life and my career and all this time in a job that doesn't really give me life. Why would I? And so they drop out. Right, they leave the company, which is incredibly expensive for organizations. It's the research kind of varies, but they say it's between 150 and 400% of somebody's annual salary to replace them. So that's very expensive. And so companies really benefit from keeping massive talents like this client of mine inside their company and leveraging their brains and their experience and their skill set and all of that for the company rather than losing them and missing out on all of that magic. That is worth a pretty decent salary increase often, which would make everybody happy. So I'm a big fan of creating these win-win outcomes. Yeah. I truly, truly believe
to have it all for the company and for herself.
Yeah.
Especially ask for it and to actually be in the zone of for both kind of sides.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we do. Wow. It's super fun.
Do you have any exercise for our listeners of thinking about their salaries or environments they're in to negotiate?
Oh, yes. Good question. What can you do at home, so to say? Okay. So what I would suggest for everybody to do, every woman who's interested, every man as well, but for women even more so, every woman who's interested in increasing her confidence in the work that she does, in herself and in the work that she does, in order to have these conversations at the right level, I would invite to keep what I call a brag book, which the title is rather controversial and there have been discussions about replacing it with a slightly different text, but I think everybody gets the nice alliteration and the idea behind it. It's very simple and yet transformational when applied consistently. So the idea is that we have a tendency to focus on all the things we don't do well. So we'll give a really kick-ass presentation and we'll focus afterwards on that one question we didn't properly answer, right? Or we'll finish a massive project But you know, obviously something has gone wrong, and our entire brains are focused on that, right? It's the same as parents who get their kid's report card in, and their kid is doing awesome in 9 out of 10 subjects, but there's one, not so much. What do they talk about? What do they worry about? What do they talk to their child about? It's that one thing, right? Our brains are wired to focus on the negative. Our brains are wired, exactly, right? And so we need to rewire our brain, which is hard work, which is why the program is so intensive. And so one of the ways in which you can do it that I found is, as I said, transformation when applied consistently, is this brag book. So a brag book is any kind of notebook that you deem your brag book that you have with you at all times, in which you write down everything you do well. Meaning you get a compliment from a client, bam, it goes in there. We have a tendency to just like, we read it, we're like, ah, that's really nice. And then we forget about it. I need you to not forget about it. So I need you to write it down and reread it very often. I need you to write down that you did give a great presentation and all the things that went well in that. I need you to write down that despite coming home very tired, you did not order in a takeaway or something like that. You actually cooked dinner. Sometimes a win or a success or a brag-worthy thing is simply, I didn't fall apart today. I didn't yell at my kids. You know, that can be a freaking win.
I didn't have a negative thought.
Yes. You know, that could be that would be massive, right? And so I need you to write down these things. So take 5 minutes every day to list all the things that you did well that day or the day.
And not only you do it in the morning. Should be more.
No. Do as many as you can. 3 would be minimum, but do as many as you can. And we actually talked about this yesterday on the graduate school that I have with my old clients every month, that it's not necessarily easy to do this because am I doing all these great things? Yes, you are. You just don't look at them necessarily as great things. We kind of expect ourselves, we think it's normal, but actually when you think about it, they're not neutral. They are great things.
They are great.
And so I just need you to look at those, or maybe at yourself and at your life, maybe through slightly new lenses, so to say. Mm-hmm. But then start writing it down and rereading it every day. So literally it takes 5 minutes, maybe 10, if we're going to push it. But if you do this consistently, you will notice the benefits very, very soon. Because what it does is, as I said, it rewires the brain in that during the day, when you're also not writing in your brag book, but you're just going about your business, your brain starts scanning its environment for positive things, for things you can write down in your brag book later on. This is not super conscious, this is subconscious, but it starts doing that. And so as you go about your day and your brain starts looking out for those things, you start picking up on them. So it becomes...
It's reframing and reprogramming, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Exactly.
And rereading them is just reconfirming, you know, going over those imprints, those negative imprints you've had over decades, and then laying a new top on top of them, or I don't know, overlaying them with these more positive thoughts. And if you do it consistently, man, it changes everything.
Changes everything. So how can you be contacted, or how can women get into this program?
You can only get into the program by talking to me and for me to assess that I can get you results, right? I want to know that before I invite anybody in. So we do that by getting on the phone, and I offer what I call a clarity call or a discovery call, where we have about 45 minutes to an hour in which I coach you on the issues that are holding you back from negotiating. And that you can apply for one of those calls on my website, which is womeninnegotiation.org. I'll repeat that, womeninnegotiation.org. You want to double check the spelling there whenever you're typing, as I need to do, because it's a rather long name. And it's .org at the end. So you can apply there for one of those calls. I'm on LinkedIn, of course. I have a lovely, wonderful Facebook group. So it's Women in Negotiation Facebook group. I also have a page, which is boring as heck. But join the group. We have a lot of Facebook Lives and other fun things happening there. Questions that people ask, you know, fun articles that are shared, et cetera, et cetera. Everything to do with women, career, negotiating, all of those things. So I'd love to see your wonderful listeners in the group or on the phone.
Thank you very much. I will have the links below or in the episode. So thank you very much for being my guest. It was a pleasure, and I hope to see you soon. Or see you soon.
Oh man, I hope to see you soon as well. And it was a freaking joy being on here. Thank you for listening to me rant. It was wonderful.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye.